Welcome to Movie Richard's Movie Month, where the Atlantic Voice Network's very own in-house critic, Movie Richard, looks at what's out and about to be out at your local multiplex. I'm Zeph, and here now, the man at the concession stand, Movie Richard. You're listening to Movie Richard's Movie Month. I'm Zeph. Movie Richard, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while, isn't it?
Yeah, first show.
A lot of movies under the bridge.
Absolutely. 30 or more.
A lot of movies under the bridge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are going to talk about some of those bigger movies from earlier this year. Yeah. But as it is the heat of July.
Absolutely.
Before we even get started, you said to me in the green room that you had a movie-going issue with your
car. Was it
heat-related? Why don't you tell the listener about that?
Long story short, I'm driving to the AMC in Herndon because I have the AMC Plus Rewards where you get 3 movies per week, 12 a month. You can't beat it.
Do you get a kickback on that? Because every time you work, you tell us how great that
is. Yeah, they need to at this point because I've gotten like 3 people signed up. But it's about a... On the highway, probably a five-minute trip if there's no traffic. And I came through the exit. I went through the toll. No issues at all. On the phone with my dad telling him I'm about to go see Spider-Man, which I'm sure we'll cover.
I hope there was a Bluetooth there.
Yeah, absolutely. I had him plugged in with the aux.
Okay, I'm old school.
I'm an old guy.
Right.
And it was so weird. I'm turning in right. You can see the theater. And I heard something, but since I had my dad on the speaker, I couldn't tell. I really couldn't tell. I was like, did I hear something or was it?
Maybe in your, do you thought maybe it's my dad passing gas or
who knows,
something.
Anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything. So when I turned, I'm like, yeah, my car doesn't feel the same. And I'm like, let me call you right back. So I turn my stereo all the way down and I can hear. I'm like, all right, I've got a flat. So now I'm just wondering, can people around me see or hear it? And can I get in the garage, because I have to go down and then wrap around.
Well, you're still committed to go to the cinema.
I'm getting in.
Can I say this about Movie Richard?
Yeah.
There's a flat tire.
Yeah.
He's going to fix it after the movie.
Absolutely. And that is so true. I have 300 yards to go. Probably about two football fields to go. And no part of me thought, stop the car here. I'm like, I have to at least get to my parking spot. And then I called my dad. I'm like, yeah, I got a flat. I'm going to call after the movie, literally.
After the movie, yeah.
And he's a...
That's dedication.
Absolutely. My dad, he's the original Movie Richard. He's almost 80. He panicked. So about halfway through the movie, he used my insurance and got... They came and set up the spare and everything. So I walked out of the movie for maybe 5 minutes. They fixed it and I was good to go. So yeah, that was... I still have the picture.
What caused the puncture?
I don't know.
Your big nail or something?
If I showed you the picture, literally, like, my tire was done. I'm shocked.
So it was a blowout?
Yeah. I was shocked. When I saw the tire, I was surprised I made it to the parking spot. And I was so lucky because I've gone to this theater probably 20 times. I've never gotten a front spot by the elevator. This was the only time in almost 2 years. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. But, yeah, it was a good story. Yeah.
So there you go. But, again... People shouldn't doubt the veracity of Movie Richard's movie relationship. The flat got fixed during the movie. There was no like, dang, I'm going to have to go to it. Let me get... Because I know me, I would panic and everything would be by getting the car fixed.
Nah.
And the movie would go out the window and everything.
No.
All right. So that is your on the way to the movies related summer.
Absolutely.
So the word on the street, I've been reading different things in different articles, different entertainment websites, Entertainment Weekly, Variety, different newspapers, that apparently box office numbers are down this summer. Mm. Now, I understand that people can cook the books in terms of, you know, you talk about the movie card deal. So we're not talking about revenue. Mm. Basically, the point is there are fewer bums on seats. Mm. What have you seen this summer? Mm. And then in light of that, what have you seen that people are missing out on? Mm-hmm. Or... Do you feel like, I can see why people are going less? Talk to me about your summer movie and going experience so far.
Well, yeah, I've seen a lot of film, probably more films this summer than ever just because of the movie pass. So from May, before the time we got out of school, to now, I've been in the theaters probably twice a week minimum. You definitely can tell that if it's not a huge release, like let's say from Avengers to now, the big releases, everybody's there, can't get a seat. Doesn't matter how, even if you pre-order for the early shows, can't get a seat.
So we're talking now in terms of those big ones. We're talking Spider-Man,
Toy Story. Incredibles 2, the big name brand. James Bond would be the same way for sure. But then what I'm surprised by is some of the B-level films that have a buzz that maybe even have been profitable for their franchise. Like, I'll give you an example, Annabelle Creations, which is one of the most successful horror movie franchises ever.
Yeah. It's called
James Wan. Yeah, I mean, it's barely even horror anymore. There were a lot of people in the cinema, but not as many as I would say when the film first was released 5-6 years ago. That was surprising. You can see the shift in between the big blockbusters and the fairly budgeted films and then the lower budgeted films. Some of the followings don't seem as big as they used to be.
But, let me ask you a question about, because again, for the other half of the show, I haven't gone to the cinema in forever. Yeah. And I'm going to come back to a story about that a bit later. I've always liked watching the trailers.
Yeah.
Traditionally in the summer, the trailers are all for the films coming up later in the year.
Yeah.
Is that still the case, or are the trailers trying to promote that? Sometimes you go to movie theater and the trailer is trailering something that's coming out next week rather than 3 months from now. Have you seen any difference in the trailers?
Well, the first thing I can say for sure, and I'm plugging AMC again when I don't mean to, they give you 20 minutes of trailers, which is more than anywhere I've ever heard. So if you're late to the movies by 20 minutes, you literally it's not even started. The beginning of the summer, I would say they were advertising things that were coming out through June. I would say the last film I saw, Spider-Man, they were advertising some films that were coming out like way into fall, which was kind of weird because even this isn't a fall release, it's still a summer release. The Hobbs.
Yeah, the Hobbs and Shaw coming out in August.
It feels like it's coming out next week because I've been seeing so many trailers
They've been pushing that thing hard since the Super Bowl.
Seriously. And but I wanted to make a really quick point about just filling the seats. I thought of a film I saw that and I'm going to quickly list a few. But a film I saw, surprised there was nobody in there, and it was a big flop, Godzilla. For some reason, I assume that at least half of the cinema would be filled. When I tell you that I was in there by myself with a friend for a maybe first week release, 2-hour film, I think they spent $200 million on that. It's one of the biggest flops of this year. Nobody there. I mean, not even kids. And, you know, they have Millie Bobby Brown, and I was surprised by that for sure.
Well, I've got a theory about Godzilla, though. I think Godzilla's one of those things that it's an idea people like rather than a movie I'm going to sit through. And I've said this before. I said this on the Atlantic Voices summer movie preview. I like Godzilla. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Godzilla, famous, kitschy, cult. Yeah. But when it comes to actually sitting through a Godzilla movie for 2 hours, why am I going to do that?
Yeah.
But I love Godzilla.
Yeah.
I'm all in. I'll wear the T-shirt. Yeah. There is something with Godzilla. Yeah. But what else have you found has been liked with attendance to your surprise?
Dark Phoenix, X-Men, which is now we know it's kind of well documented that it is a huge flop, one of the bigger flops that of any of the Marvel or DC comic book films have had.
Why was it? Did you feel like it was a flop? Are you walking out going, wow, people are missing out here? Or I kind of get what people are saying.
I thought it was a good film. I didn't understand why it was a flop. I thought they marketed it well.
They did,
Even with X-Men going through all of the weird distribution stuff and likenesses and all of that, I thought this has been their best run at it over the last 20 years. These last few films have been strong. I thought with this film being released now, and then they have the New Mutants film coming out in August that has kind of a horror film type of feel to it, I thought it was going to be some type of segue. Once again, similar to Godzilla, nobody. I mean, well, maybe 7 people, which to me
which first week, horrible. It's a blockbuster that's, you know, we're trying to make $450 million.
Exactly.
And 7 dudes in the evening, it's not $450 million.
And I'm still kind of also thinking Sophie Turner, who just married a Jonas brother from Game of Thrones, I'm thinking her star is going to bring some people in as well.
Yeah, people said that.
And I thought she was solid. And I don't know if it would have been a breakthrough film because it's not bigger than Game of Thrones. No one. I mean, even my friend went. I went on like the Saturday after. He went on like the Wednesday. He was like, man.
I've said this before on this show. I've said it on other shows. I don't do the comic books, but I do have a soft spot for X-Men. So I pay attention. I like the Wolverine movies. I think Logan's one of the best of those movies I've ever seen in a long time. I think it's just a really good movie. Mm-hmm. I noticed when I first saw the TV spots for the X-Men, and you talked about Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones, and obviously they want to focus on her. Game of Thrones is hot. Everyone watches it. Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. But when I watched the first couple of trailers and some of the TV spots, I felt like Dr. X, Magneto, and some of the regular X-Men people, I almost felt like they weren't in the movie. Yeah. Like it wasn't their movie.
Yeah.
And so I remember watching them. Now, I wasn't going to go, but I'm sitting there thinking, is this really about the villain? Is this like a Joker movie rather than a Batman and Joker movie?
It kind of is.
So I thought that was interesting. So maybe that was part of the mistake, was X-Men fans want the X-Men. Yeah. Again, and I just use Joker as an example, but maybe Joker's a bit unfair because Joker is one of the ultimate villains.
Yeah.
But people want a villain, but they want a good guy.
It's interesting for sure. I think that...
You talked about the fact... I want to pick up on something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think, like, you know, the trailers have always, they have got, those, that section of trailers has got longer over the last 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. It used to be 10 minutes, now it's 15 minutes, now 20, it feels like it's 20,
it's
25
literally
minutes.
20 minutes.
And if you get to the cinema early, there's always some, like, sort of recorded TNT or e-entertainment show about the movies. Maybe that's an admittance on the part of the theaters and Hollywood. Mm. We got a lot of product and we need to get bums on seats.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean,
because anything that cuts into it's that old thing. If a film's successful, they want to put it on as many times in a day as they can.
All day, everywhere.
So if you trim off 5 minutes of trailers from four earlier shows, well, you can sneak an extra late show in there.
Yeah.
But clearly, this is what they're banking on.
But you know, I think you may be onto something there because I thought it was a huge move by the movie industry to even come up with something like the AMC Movie Pass. Because when I look at it, I'm like, how are you guys ever going to profit? And it kind of takes me back to your point. They must really want people in seats because 12 movies, $20 a month, it just seems a little extreme. But yeah, I think that you're absolutely right in terms of how they're campaigning and marketing movies at as many different levels. Instagram, you know, when nowadays, social media, when a Dark Phoenix is coming out, you literally, if you touch it one time on your phone, it's going to be everything you see for the next 3 weeks. Same thing now. A good friend of mine was saying, if five of us have liked it, for instance, in an area, like five of us have liked the Dark Phoenix trailer, there are certain theaters now that they pick up on that socially through signing in through your social media at the theater. They'll show trailers based on your interest on Facebook. So we're in a whole different place from that regard.
Obviously, it's your job as movie director to know what's coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you feel, and I know this is now hard because I'm asking an enthusiast a question about a non-enthusiast. Do you feel that with all the different methods now, and you just talked about the Dark Phoenix marketing campaign, nothing comes out that you don't know about, right?
I'd agree with
that. So it's got to be hard for... So people must be... No one can say, I didn't know about that. People are making a conscious choice not to go.
Yeah. That's what I think it is. Netflix. I mean, stay in.
Yeah. You talk about Movie Pass.
Yeah.
So you go. If I come with you, I'm paying full boat.
Yes.
Okay. So maybe that's the attraction is one dude with a Movie Pass will bring three of his buddies. Maybe that's the gamble that they're making.
And then it benefits the member. If I bring three of you guys and I sign you in and I pay through my app, then I'll get a kickback of $5 rewards or whatever it may be. But yeah, it's interesting. You go to Avengers, it feels like movies are just buzzing and cinema's alive and there's nothing but profit because there's so many people. You can't even get in the bathroom. You go to Dark Phoenix, it's like, Oh my goodness.
And these are not properties 100 miles removed from each other. Absolutely. We're not talking about some small, you know, family drama.
This isn't
drama.
Some indie film. No, yeah. This is a big release. And you know what I actually came away with myself, and this is just honestly my opinion, great place to say it on this show. I think now you're going to have to be very careful as a comic book film if you come out within a month of an Avengers or a big Marvel release.
We're going to get to Avengers a little bit later, and you've done your own segue there in terms of its effect on itself and the movie marketplace. What else has come out this summer? And again, instead of asking you about the ones where the theater was packed, and, you know, was incredible, sure, it was good, high quality, Toy Story, the reviews were decent, not great, but still... Mm-hmm. What did you sit there with seven other people and think, dang, other people are missing out on something? You talked about Annabelle.
Annabelle, I mean, I still feel like that's a pretty big release. But yeah, Annabelle I thought was just incredible. Just like what they're doing with that entire genre. And now it's not horror films, it's just a good film.
Did you see The Dead Don't Die, the zombie movie?
Yes, I did.
Talk to me about that. Because that was one that piqued my curiosity, but it got horrible reviews.
I liked it. I mean, but... And I've said this so many times on this show, I think there's a difference between sometimes an entertaining film that's not good, maybe the writing wasn't great, but you enjoy the experience, versus a film where you may go into it thinking, I'm expecting a good film with great writing and no plot holes. If you have that perception, if you're like, I'm looking for a well-written, well-put-together film where I can check off every box as a moviegoer because I'm a purist, probably not the film for you. If it's like, I want to see something good, it's kind of funny, has some action, and it's
great cast.
It's a great cast.
Yeah.
Go see it, and you'll have a great time. I didn't understand why it got any bad reviews. I went and saw some films that I usually wouldn't see. I saw, like, the Rocket Man film about Elton John.
How was that?
It's actually good. And I know.
Really?
And that's coming from a guy who knows nothing about Elton John outside of him doing a song with Eminem.
Okay.
Which my dad hates me for that. That's a whole nother cover. It's like the most insulting thing I've said about music in a while. There was by A24 Productions, there was another one of their weird films that came out called Midsummer.
I've been reading a lot about that.
I just feel like that's just one of those films you just need to see. I don't know what else. It's like Mother.
Yes.
You just need to see it.
Yeah, which we talked about a lot.
Yeah, you just got to see it. I would say really quickly, all of the big budget films were all good. Toy Story was good. Avengers was great. Spider-Man was great. Incredibles was great. Just go through the list. A film that I didn't get to speak about because we were working on your project, great project, Brightburn. What I loved about it, it's kind of the Superman story reinvented.
Okay.
So it's rated R. It's a little hardcore, a little rough, low budget, but good film. That was cool to kind of see, all right, this is Superman coming to this earth. We're just going to flip everything. Make
what
him
can
a
we
bad
do
guy. Yeah. I'm missing one. Honestly, and this is going to be kind of sad to say, a lot of the stuff that I've liked the most have been shows and stuff on Netflix. I feel like that's for another show.
That is for another show.
Yeah.
What didn't you like? What disappointed you? What did you go, dang, I'm glad I've got the movie pass?
Godzilla would be right at the top of that.
Really?
When I saw that one, I was just like, and I was coming.
Because clearly Dark Phoenix, you're swimming a little bit against the general tide. The thing got horrible reviews.
Yeah.
It disappeared. It's probably going to bomb, which that surprises me.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. A film like that, number whatever it is within the franchise, the reviews don't matter. But ultimately what matters is, oh, it didn't make its money. The reviews are the critics.
Yeah.
Not making its money is,
but
the fans have turned their back on it.
Yeah.
And the last Planet of the Apes movie was the same way, in that it didn't make as much money as its predecessors, which means forget the average moviegoer. Yeah. The person who says, I'm a fan of that, also turned that back on.
And it might have been, I thought that last one was their best one. I did want to say, speaking about big budget films that I did not like, Godzilla, I didn't like Men in Black.
That's one that hadn't come up.
I didn't like Men in Black.
Can I ask you a question about Men in Black?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the original.
Yeah.
Isn't that the original? It was 20 years
20, ago. I think so.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith.
Yeah.
I saw the original, thought it was a great idea, and then immediately at that moment checked out. I didn't want to see more. I wasn't interested. It wasn't my thing. I think they did three and then it went away.
Yeah.
Were you even surprised to see it come back?
Yes. I didn't, as a kid in that era, which at that time, Men in Black just felt very new. That's right in the Pokemon era.
Right.
Will Smith was just, as a kid, growing up in D.C. at that time, he just felt like an iconic figure.
Yeah, I mean, that was his transition to movie stardom. Yeah, he had Men in Black, he had Bad Independence Boys, Day, and then he was doing Ali.
Rap was everything. Doing yeah. well. Everything was just, he couldn't miss. At that time, it was great, but it's so funny, to your point, even like as a teenager, no part of me ever was like, need to see another Men in Black. Like, just especially without Will Smith and without the original cast.
So when you went,
yeah.
and I guess that's that moment, isn't it? When you yeah. first see the trailer, and Hemsworth is great, and yeah. Tessa Thompson is great.
Absolutely.
And I think Emma Thompson was in it, and I think Liam Neeson's in it. So it's not short of Mm-mm. not short of big some names. Star power, big
yeah.
names.
Yeah, good story, too.
Was there a obviously you went because it's your job and yeah, you went yeah. because your movie pass. Was there some curiosity or was there like like be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Going in, did you go in of open mind or did you go in, all right, let me see here, or are you like
I was pretty open.
Because therefore it just wasn't a good movie.
Yeah, for me. I think kids would love it. I think like that like 15 and down would love it. I don't think that anyone my age, unless you just really need to see a movie, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of corny. Kind of very similar to what happened with Independence Day 2, where I was just like,
what are we doing here?
What's going on? Great CGI. That story was horrible. That was a much worse film. Same thing. Like
Was it trying to be like a new take or whatever? Or did it just feel like it's the same thing, we've just got some new dudes in it?
Well, that's my issue. It was supposed to kind of be a new take, woman lead, younger faces, new faces that are names. It just felt like the exact same stuff.
The trailers made it look like the same.
Yeah,
movie.
I'm like, you're using the same weapons, that looks like the same vehicles,
right.
same aliens. And I'm like, that was when that and Godzilla were definitely two where I said, yeah, if I didn't have MoviePass, not seeing it.
Because you've talked about we've yeah. talked about the X-Men films.
Yeah.
When X-Men did X-Men First Class,
yeah.
it was, hey,
yeah.
same characters,
yeah.
new actors, yeah. different time.
Yeah.
Like, the film was very upfront about, you know, in the same way that when they rebooted Star Trek.
Yeah.
Star Trek, new cast, new
yeah.
spin. Hey, you've seen it, but you haven't seen
yeah.
it. The Men in Black, it just felt like, here's Men in Black. We've just got some new dudes to do stuff, but we're doing the same stuff.
Yeah,
like, there didn't seem to be an over-attempt in the advertising to say, hey, this actually isn't your father's Men in Black.
Yeah.
Because it's 20 years ago.
Yeah. I didn't. It wasn't for me. But I think that I didn't even look at the numbers for that one. Maybe for the next generation.
It has not done well, and Dark Phoenix has not done well.
I know Dark Phoenix flopped.
And Godzilla has not done well either.
And they spent, like, hundreds of millions. A film that I saw that I did like that I think some people missed, once again, kind of a horror film. It's called Ma, and it was kind of like all of the things that you would think about a horror film, how they've been done traditionally. They kind of flipped it. So as to where I think you would, in most cases, have a white male killing or a white face killing, like Gone Girl was a little bit different. That was
sure.
the book. It was a black woman killing a predominantly white cast.
Okay.
And honestly, I'm just saying that because that was just a very interesting part of the
yeah.
trailer. I was like, oh, I've never in my life seen that. It was really well done. Like,
really?
Writing was good. I just forgot her name. One of the leads from The Help. Another great performance. I was surprised because I was just going to see it. Hey, maybe I jump. Maybe I get scared. Maybe I see a new film. Who cares? No expectation. I was really surprised with like how well it was put together, and that the story actually had some meat to it. Like, they just weren't random killings with no context and people screaming. And then I don't know if this would count as a summer movie because a lot of people saw it.
Because we're going to segue into Avengers in a minute.
Us was
okay.
Good movie overall. Yeah.
All right. So The journalists then are not wrong. It does feel that when it comes to audiences in the cinema, things are clearly down.
Yeah.
But as you said yourself there, you know, it doesn't feel like when you go to Avengers, Black Panther, Ant-Man, any of the Marvel franchise, you can't get the line to the toilet.
Can't get in. Yeah.
Obviously, Avengers Endgame. Am I right there?
Yes.
Because I'm going to start calling it because I don't know the difference.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame came out this spring. It was it was preceded by a couple of weeks, I think, by Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Real quick, because I know most people have probably seen Avengers.
Did you?
I mean, did you like it?
Great.
Did you feel like it? It. Because clearly, it's a culmination of a number of movies.
Yeah.
Did that culmination and you investing your time as a viewer, did you get your payoff in Endgame?
Yeah, with the highest expectations I've probably ever had of any film ever.
It delivered.
Yeah.
That says something.
Everything. I mean, and I'm not saying that as like a Marvel guy or comic book guy. That is a film that I think if you've not seen any of the movies and you wouldn't saw it, you'd be like, wow, that was really good. If you didn't like any comic book films at all, and I was like, there's one I'm gonna give you to go watch, that would be it. And I never thought that I would say that over a Spider-Man 2 or over a
Captain better than America. Iron Man.
Yeah,
better than Dark Knight. Now I know these movies are slightly different, but I'm now talking, if you make the statement, this is the best comic. But if, hey, Jeff, I know you're not a comic book guy.
Yeah, I think that
throw me one. Would you throw me Endgame before Dark Knight? Which everyone takes as
the best of the best. Yeah, I think I would.
Really?
I know that I could. I know that. And I've never been able to say that.
Okay.
There's nothing else I've seen where I was like, hey, Zeph, knowing what you're into and da-da-da, I'm going to give you this over an easy one like that. You
okay.
know? But no, it was good.
So it's of a high standard.
Yeah. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they kept it all under wraps without even getting into the – just how they kept all of that movie under wraps.
Yeah.
No leaks. All the twists, no leaks on social media. Had no idea what to expect. And something I thought was really cool, they used Captain Marvel against a lot of us. And if we had had a previous show and you were to say, what's Avengers going to be? I would have said Captain Marvel's going to come in, save the day, undo everything. That's it. That's everything they've shown us. That's clearly what's going to happen. Not at all what happened. She was barely in the film.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well done. Well done.
Okay. So, because now we're going to talk a little bit about sort of the business of creativity.
Yeah.
And obviously, and again, I don't follow. You know this better than I.
Yeah.
But you've already said that it delivered in a one-off way, but it also delivered as the culmination of something for the fans.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a question based on a movie we talked about a little earlier in the show.
Mm.
The fact that Avengers, and I know that there's still a part of me who believes that if you think, oh, well, you know, X-Men is different studio and whatever. But to most fans, I don't think they care about that.
Mm.
This is all comic book characters.
Yeah.
Do you think Dark Phoenix as the next comic book movie? Do you think it was hurt in any way by the fact that Avengers seemed to be this big finish?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. So
everyone, big finish, we've been building up to this.
Yeah.
Wham.
We don't need it anymore.
For a while.
For a little bit. Yeah, I would.
Do you think Dark Phoenix was hurt by that?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Because I know the tracking numbers for Spider-Man are good, but they're not as good as Spider-Man 1.
Which is surprising because.
And that was a good film.
Really good. Really short. That last Spider-Man, as a Spider-Man guy who has Spider-Man tattooed on his body, very good. But yeah, I think that if I'm putting out any type of big film, especially a comic book film.
Which is the big finish.
Exactly. I'm not going from here on out. I'm not releasing a film near an Avengers or a Black Panther. And on the flip side, a Wonder Woman, whenever the next one comes out, a Captain Marvel. I'm just not doing it. Maybe a Spider-Man. Maybe they have some other films coming out that are going to be the first of, you know, film.
So that's my question.
Yeah.
You know, you've had this big finish.
Yeah.
Some characters are going to take a break. Some actors, it was their...
They're
this
out
was
here.
My curtain call.
Yeah.
I am now done with it for perfectly good reasons.
Yeah.
What are where do the Avengers movies go next?
Well,
and you've name-checked Spider-Man,
but
that's his own thing. You've name-checked Black Panther, which is clearly going to be its own thing.
Yeah.
What happens to this big, amorphous Marvel universe of which... the Avengers was the centerpiece. And if you have a film with everyone in it,
yeah,
then in a strange way, that's great. But then yeah. the next film without everyone in it,
yeah.
it's it weird. Needs to be strong.
Yeah. yeah. Well, and what's so strange about that whole thing with Avengers is because they break them into phases, how they're handling the movies, what's coming out, et cetera, et cetera. Something they weren't very clear on, just quick point, Spider-Man is the end of Phase 4 and not Avengers. And what it appears that Spider-Man is what they're going to be building around moving forward. I would say after Avengers and a great Spider-Man film, I don't know how they do this again. The plan is, from what I'm picking up,
what's
what
your
I'm
understanding
reading,
of the plan?
Yeah, my understanding of the plan is they're going to start the process over, meaning they're going to introduce a lot of new heroes in one film or two films over the next year or two. And then at some point, we're going to have another big film with everybody in it. I just don't know how you do it without Robert Downey Jr., without Chris Evans, with Hemsworth's character in a very strange space, with Tom Holland, who is incredible. He's just very young in the Marvel universe, but he may be the best Spider-Man. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Well, so because here's the interesting thing, and I'm going to pull out two other franchises, and comparisons aren't always fair
because yeah.
you're not always comparing apples with apples.
Yeah.
There's a new James Bond film in production. I'm a James Bond guy.
Mm-hmm.
But James Bond has a different set of rules to mm-hmm. play for. It has obviously been around a lot longer,
mm-hmm.
so it is established with its character, mm-hmm. its style,
mm-hmm.
the fact that they're connected, but they're not. It's not a series. Like, you don't have to watch one to see the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, when James Bond recasts,
mm-hmm.
it's something that Batman never was able to handle very
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Recasting mm-hmm. is part of James Bond's existence,
yeah.
whereas Batman always shudders whenever they recast.
Yeah.
It doesn't get it right. Whereas James Bond, they've just learned. You recast, you move on.
Yeah.
Star Wars, and we've discussed this, and I've been watching them. I watched them a lot over the July the 4th holiday. I know, I think TNT and TBS have the rights, so they were showing all the old ones. They were showing Rogue One, which I love as a movie.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen Solo.
Yeah.
But Star Wars clearly had big plans and then have sort of had to cut back on their plans because Solo made money but wasn't well regarded. You know, the last of the regular series was quite controversial. So, you know, that's a franchise that maybe is like, ooh, what does Marvel do to avoid the trap that, like, I feel like Star Wars has got too big for its own
yeah.
sort of body at the moment, trying to expand too much
yeah.
instead of just sticking to its thing.
Well, I'm hoping that.
Where does Avengers go?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm hoping that, because if you really even try to look at what they're going to do next or, you know, post-Avengers, where they're going, they've had it under tight wraps. So what you kind of hope is the same company that I had to kind of take a leap of faith and hope that they could make an Avengers film that would make sense, you hope that they can continue the franchise without making about three mistakes. And it's very simple. Don't recast anybody anytime soon. For the people who've died or contractually moved on, I don't think there's really any point in recasting any of those people for the reasons you're speaking about with Star Wars. I think it would backfire and hurt the film. Same thing with Batman.
Because that's what did in Solo.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Solo was Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And unless you're yeah. bringing in George Clooney to
exactly.
do Solo,
exactly.
picking a no-name, that dude is always going to lose to Harrison Ford.
Exactly.
I still think that was a mistake. I think
exactly.
they should have used a name actor.
Yeah.
Hey, we know it's not Harrison Ford,
yeah.
but we're giving you George Clooney doing it.
Somebody,
Ford,
yeah, yeah.
And you're going to go, okay, then you can. But if it's a no name,
yeah.
you're just sitting there going, this dude's not Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's George Clooney,
yeah.
you're going, well, of course it's not. It's not Harrison Ford. It's George Clooney.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, and this real quick point to your point about that, that's kind of what I'm saying about Robert Downey Jr., who's turned into my favorite, who's a lot of people's favorite.
He is Iron Man.
He is Iron Man. There's no need to recast within the next 5 or so years.
Right.
You just kind of hope that they don't rush films out and look at their previous success and go, well, now that we have a formula, we can speed through it. Because that was my issue with Captain Marvel. I felt like, yeah, great film. Did great.
But the formula, but I don't think yeah. the formula, obviously the formula works for them.
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely convinced it's a formula that works because Star Wars is
yeah.
kind of trying that
yeah.
and they're pulling back because
yeah.
it hasn't worked.
I think I'm just hoping that they're just going to branch off into some new stories and we're just captivated by those characters because my good friend Matt, who he's actually an actor, and we talk about just we're both, I'm 28, he's 24. How much time we've just put into watching the films. We were both kind of saying, as good as Avengers was, at the end of the day, you could kind of see where it was going. It's time for some new endings, some new ideas. I just don't want them to make these quick films where they're trying to grab a dollar, which is what I felt like they were doing with Captain Marvel.
But they do have some strong characters. Yeah. They do have some strong...
They have some people around.
Characters. Yeah. Sort of lying around is the wrong word. They have some strong characters on tap.
Yeah.
Clearly, Black Panther is ready to be huge. You know, Deadpool has proven.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, and you know, a Spider-Man you've talked
Spider-Man's
about.
Spider-Man's huge.
Apparently, they're going to make another Ant-Man movie, which you know... Well, but he captures. But you know, it's interesting. Yeah. And we've had this discussion about Paul Rudd playing a cartoon character who we like.
Yeah.
But he does. He gives the whole thing this sort of like indie franchise chop. Do you know what I mean?
There's something kind of really weird. Yeah.
In the same way that we love Robert Downey Jr., but Robert Downey Jr. was being taken as a serious actor.
Yeah.
And now I'm being Iron Man. So do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
it's funny. You're so right with Ant-Man. Even though those films do well, and when you go. Literally, it's probably the same people who've been seeing all the other films. When you go to an Ant-Man film, you feel like it's a little bit more culty. Like
this it's is a slightly
like,
hippie.
This
crowd,
is our
right?
favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah, this is
you're an Iron Man guy. Okay, you know it's just like when speaking of the '90s.
So I watched. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I was watching the other night X-Men's Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, yeah.
The one with obviously Hugh Jackman. Yeah. Liev Schreiber's in it, and Ryan Reynolds was in it.
Yeah.
And because I don't follow any of this, I had to check on my phone. They kept referring to his character as Matt Wilde or something like that. Yeah. And I'm thinking, is he playing this? Is this just like an Act Who got recast? Or is he playing the dude?
Yeah.
Because that X-Men Origins movie, that's 11 years old. That's 2009. Yeah. But he was playing Deadpool. Yeah. Yeah. So I do think for Marvel, they do have this whole, they got a whole library, for want of a better word, of characters they could use.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the way, is you give all these independent goes a shot without the need to pull it all together.
Yeah, I just don't want them to handle it in the way that they have, where every film that they produce moving forward that is introducing a new character, it's just a quick win for that character, meaning they're going to introduce a character, they're going to have a average level bad guy, they're going to win and look incredible just because they're trying to build for the next Avengers. If these people are,
we don't want a law and order on our hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spinning off every minute.
Absolutely.
CSI Wyoming. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, okay, North Dakota's got a show. Yeah. You go like, all right, like what's going on out there? Yeah, it's just like
dead cows.
Yeah, in cold weather. I just want them to pay as much attention to each film and their fan base as they have, take a few risks every now and then with some of the other characters, but just put more thought into it than like the new Chucky movie, which was horrible.
That's right.
There are a few films that came out. You go, okay, whoever put this together, they didn't think about this very much. With some of us who've put in like
I read something, so I can't remember what it was in.
Yeah,
I can't remember if it was Entertainment Week. I don't want to name check a magazine and get it wrong. I read somewhere and they were trying to big up the new Chucky movie. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to go to the cinema to figure that one out. I'm going to wait till it comes on cable. Yeah. But I'm thinking, I'm going to bookmark this page. Because when I finally see that movie, then that Chucky movie. Yeah. And it's not the highest bar to outdo the earlier Chucky
that's
movie.
That's what I thought.
I'm like, that better be a really good movie.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's so funny because talking about like Ant-Man people, if you talk to like the Chucky people who've been hiding for like 20 years, like the people who like have not acknowledged like they love, you know, it's like the Chucky people who are like mad that Annabelle's come out and all these other films. If you talk to a Chucky person, which I know one is just weird even saying that, she loved it. I mean, she was just like, oh,
really?
Man. And I'm like, the first thing I said was exactly what you just said. It didn't take them a lot to jump the last one, you know?
What we need is to have a Chucky found footage movie.
Oh,
so that's bringing back two ideas
man.
The past their prime.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so talking of other things out there, we've got a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Got a good few minutes. What's coming up that piques your curiosity, that you can't wait to see, or that is coming up and you're thinking,
Can't wait to see.
You talk Tarantino. Let's go there first.
Can't wait to see. Once upon a time in Hollywood.
I don't have none of that. Once upon a time in the West. DiCaprio, Margot Robbie, Matt Damon. Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Brad Pitt, sorry.
I've seen the trailers. Looks fabulous.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see it. I've been...
Long.
Yeah, it's going to be... You know it's going to be 3 hours.
Self-indulgent.
Yeah, you can tell. I've been really, over the last, like, 6 months, I think I've watched all of the documentaries on, like, either Ted Bundy, Dahmer, Charles Manson. So I'm really interested to see how they're going to handle it.
The trailers look great. Yeah, it looks like it's hitting that ear on it.
Yeah.
And let me give you an aside, and obviously the joint is DiCaprio.
Yeah.
So I... You know, we've been talking about, you know, you go to cinema and I sit around and watch streaming TV.
Yeah.
I watched in both of them in either partial form or watched the end of it and then watched the start of it again when it's on TV. I watched both Wolf of Wall Street and The Aviator.
Yeah.
And I'm continually blown away by what a great actor DiCaprio is. But I also notice those movies are both clearly, especially Wolf of Wall Street, they're both clearly Scorsese movies. They have that sort of the music and the rhythm and the tempo.
Yeah.
I watched, when I saw the Tarantino trailer, I almost felt like, ooh, is this a Scorsese movie? Because the trailer moves with that kind of, I'm waiting for De Niro to wander out and say something. Yeah. But it does look like it's going to be a hit,
That is the one, because I like, I love Leo. I think that, like, in our generation, it's only two for me. It's like him or Denzel. I think that he's had, like, one of the strongest, like, last 10 films ever. Like,
yes.
Inception, Wolf of Wall Street, The Revenant. You could stop there. Then you talk about this one, Shutter Island. And just keep going back to The Aviator. Gilbert Grape's Titanic. When you start going through them, I'm like, man, this guy is incredible.
Brad Pitt, though, who in the trailers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I do like Brad Pitt.
Yeah, me too.
But I sit there with Brad Pitt and... And I watch stuff, and then there are certain movies where he just comes along and he's Ocean's movies.
Yeah.
And he's great.
Yeah.
And you're getting value for money. And what was the one he did with Angelina Jolie? With Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And you go, oh, it's Brad Pitt.
Okay, yeah.
But then there are Brad Pitt performances where I watch, and I... Did you ever see the one about the tank? And he's the tank commander. And his name is in it, who was in the last Indiana Jones movie, and I can see his face.
I feel like I did.
I think it was called... Tank. I can't remember, but it was about the World War II tank.
Yeah, I feel like I saw that.
And you watch Brad Pitt and you go, he's not quite DiCaprio, but that dude's got talent.
Yeah.
Like in a not, like a good guy. Like an Iron. And it's funny, I sit here and when you watch, I watched Spy Game the other night where he's Redford's second fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. I watched the fly fishing movie from years ago where he's young.
Yeah.
And the dude's got talent.
He's Troy.
Yeah. Right?
Which is, for me, like, one of my favorite films.
Yeah.
See, yeah, like, I feel like a lot of people don't give Troy its credit.
No,
when you
don't.
Start talking about, like, a Gladiator.
Because you get lost 300 in, like, 300 and all this kind of...
Which I get it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
if Troy
yeah.
came out right now, the way it was taken, I thought he did great. So, for me, I get to see Troy. I get to see...
But Brad Pitt's an all-star, too.
Yeah, he is. He really
is. I watched Moneyball on TV the other night.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm watching Brad Pitt, but I'm watching Brad Pitt play another guy. And I'm like, he's got that.
A film he snuck up on, just for the sake of the conversation, a lot of people miss in the 12 Years a Slave film at the very end, the last 45 minutes. He has a surprisingly strong role.
Yeah.
And
he can pull it off, though.
He just pops up.
Yeah.
And it was so cool because I was like, wow. When I was watching it recently, honestly, it was on. I just saw the end of it. I'm like, oh, man, there's Brad Pitt. Like, you're kind of like grabbing some cookies from my Uber Eats Subway, and they were late. And I was mad about that.
Maybe they had a flat.
Yeah, they must have, and they must have just kept driving on it. But, yeah, I was like, oh, man. You kind of look at the TV, and you go, oh, man. It's Brad Pitt. And I'm like, oh, I forgot about his role. Let's see what he's up to. And, you know, it goes through all that really heavy stuff. And you're like,
he
wow.
gets a bum rap sometimes. And he doesn't. No, bum rap is the wrong word.
Yeah.
He doesn't get. We sit here and we go.
Yeah.
Like, they're both movie stars.
Yeah.
And I don't mean this as a comparison.
Yeah.
But we sit there and we go, DiCaprio's brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, what an actor.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, unfortunately.
Yeah. He doesn't get
You go,
get
it's
that
Brad
love.
Pitt.
Yeah.
And he gets love, but he doesn't get the kind
level.
Of respect.
Yeah.
Whereas even people, oh, Matt Damon, he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
I think because Brad Pitt's so good looking, but it's like, no, no, no. Brad Pitt's got the same game as those dudes.
I think he's a better actor than Matt Damon. If you ask me,
a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
The Martian for me took Matt Damon.
Although it's funny, I've seen Matt Damon. If you watch Matt Damon in some of like the funny kind of like comedic things, there was the one, The Informant. That movie's hilarious. It's a Steven Soderbergh movie where it's like based on a true story where he plays a dude who's informing for the FBI.
Yeah.
And he put on a bit of weight and he's wearing goofy glasses and he's playing like this sort of civil servant.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Bumbling around. But again, he's got. But Brad Pitt's got games.
He's got a great film. It's on the tip of my tongue. He's a spy. I believe it's Brad Pitt. He's a spy. He's playing alongside the French actress from Inception. That was big actress in France. And they have like, I cannot remember the name of that film.
She was in The Dark Knight Rises. And I'm extremely unhappy. Marion Cotillard.
That was a crush on great. Her. Yeah, me too.
They played in that. Oof. And that's right, because there was a lot of controversy. Because apparently the word on the street was that was one of the reasons. Because she's married and she had to deny that there was any hanky-panky.
Whatever happened. And I support whatever decision you made. Yeah.
He's got game. So imagine him and DiCaprio in the same movie with Tarantino providing the words. I mean, I've said before on this show that sometimes Tarantino is someone I admire more than like.
Yeah.
And I don't go rushing down. But... And I did. Hateful Eight, I'm sitting there going, 2.5 hours, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But this one?
Yeah.
No, this one's going to get me in the movie theater.
Yeah.
What else is coming that you're curious
about? Just because
it's
been in my face so much, I'm actually going to go see Hobbs. Just because I just feel like it's been force-fed down my throat since the Super Bowl. And I like The Rock.
But it's funny. When we were having the discussion a bit earlier about Avengers and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious are taking a slightly different tack to expanding their franchise.
Yeah.
So it feels like, okay, they're taking a year off the other movies to entirely devote this year to Hobbs and Shaw.
With a great cast.
Whereas Star Wars didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Star Wars had the movie at Christmas, and then they rolled Solo out within 3 months, and people are like, yeah.
Not
and now we're going 2.5 years before the next Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
Fast and Furious, and maybe this is part of it for Avengers. Obviously, your films always come down to quality, but when you run these large franchises, it's not just quality, it's pacing.
Mm-hmm.
Fast and Furious, okay, we're going to roll Hobbs and Shaw out this summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not competing against much else. It's not competing against itself.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm looking up. There's one more film. Oh, clearly Dark Mutants, which I'm just curious to see how they're going to turn that into kind of like a Shutter Island-y type of film.
Okay.
And there's one more, if you give me a split.
And we're leaving
second.
One on tap, but we're going to get to last. So don't worry if you're out there.
Oh, of course. Yeah, we have to cover that one. If you give me a split second. Oh, I don't even know how I missed this one. It Part 2.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you really liked the first one, didn't you?
Yeah.
You really liked
film.
That.
Good film,
I remember
man.
When that came
really
out. You
film.
Raved about it. And you were upfront about, I'm not really a Stephen King guy, but this one. So you're excited.
Yeah.
Which also means if they fall short, you'll be the first one to tell us about it.
Yeah, and he kind of got me after Pet Sematary, so now I have high expectations with that.
I don't want
to. We got the big one now.
We got the big one now.
Yeah.
I've got some strong opinions up front.
Same here.
The Lion King is coming. Yeah. Let me start here and let you go from here. It looks.
Yeah.
So I've just seen TV spots and stuff on my computer. It does look.
Yeah.
Just visually.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Definitely.
So are you with that in mind?
Yeah.
Because you're nodding your head like, obviously, I am correct for once on the show.
Yeah.
So are you already of generous spirit to this movie before you go and watch it?
Yeah. I mean, Lion King took
What's the bar it has to cross for you?
A big one. I mean, I'm expecting like Avengers, like Endgame level expectations. Lion King for me is the definitive Disney film of my life. That's my favorite.
I'm a different generation, so I have a different one. But for me, it is in the pantheon of those that are great. And as an aside, my mom, bless her, is good friends with Sir Tim Rice.
Wow.
And yeah. I've actually sat next to him at dinner, yeah. who obviously does yeah. a lot of the words, yeah. and some of those yeah. words are his. So, but we will talk about that in a later stage. So it is the definitive Disney
yeah,
movie.
I mean.
So let me ask you a yeah. question, though. You've just made that statement.
Yeah.
So it's got a big bar to cross.
Yeah.
But do you not have any trepidation that it even exists to cross that bar, knowing that this is the definitive Disney movie for you, for many of your generation?
Yeah.
And again, because Disney is not truly generational, there yeah. are people my age who go, no, no, that's the best one.
And the
one.
Pressure of Toy Story 4 doing well and all their other reboots doing pretty well.
Is there not a part of you who goes, ooh, do we really need to be doing this?
Yeah, I mean, I was, when they announced they were doing the film, I was kind of in that place where if you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all. And then they say, okay, it's going to be live action, if that's what you want to call it. It's not.
It's not, though,
is
it?
Not
it's cartoon
action.
As well.
Yeah, it's just great
it's just,
CGI.
It's just great
yeah,
CGI.
Just incredible
cartoon.
CGI. I was like, okay, now I'm interested by that. But then they kind of started doing things that I'm very intrigued by and why I'm going to go see the film. It feels a little spiritual. And I just kind of wanted to see the exact same film, high level CGI. That's it. That's all I wanted. The cast is massive.
The cast is unbelievable.
The soundtrack is massive. The trailers are massive.
Yeah.
Everything they've touched. And I mean, maybe because Aladdin was so bad.
The word on the street is yeah. Glover is brilliant.
Yeah.
Beyonce is brilliant.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen is brilliant.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen has said it might be some of the best work I've ever done.
Yeah.
And that's a big statement from him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ekafor, who I love,
yeah,
he's always on a hide into nothing because that is the one, and I don't mean to diminish Matthew Broderick or some of the great names from the first one, but yeah, when Jeremy Irons played the villain in the original cartoon, I mean, that's the he's one of the great.
Yeah.
Find me two other Disney villains that are bigger than
yeah.
that, and
nowhere.
We'll have a fight in
nowhere.
The room. So
yeah.
to be fair, on Ekafor, who I think yeah. is a great actor, that's a tough challenge. It's a tough challenge.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It does look great, though.
It looks incredible. I mean,
does it,
you
but
can't
does
miss
it not? Are you not concerned? Because I remember, yeah. So Jon Favreau was given a helm to this. You know, he's got a pretty decent directorial resume. Mm-hmm. One of the Iron Mans. Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston comedy. I think The Breakup was his.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, you know, and he's done, I think, Jumanji with The Rock.
Got another one coming out, by the
and,
way.
And another one. And he did The Jungle Book,
mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say live action, even though you and I have both established
yeah.
that when people throw that around, they're wildly inaccurate,
yeah. Yeah.
but it's the word that we're using.
Yeah.
He did the live action Jungle Book, which to me, I felt like kind of, yeah. And again, now, for me, you've just said how Lion King, that's the Disney film for your
Definitely.
Generation.
I think so.
Me, it's the original Jungle Book. That's my Disney.
That's how my dad is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah,
and yeah I mean,
I
obviously, it came out, you know, I think it came out in the late 50s,
yeah.
and I still wasn't born.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, we knew all the songs,
yeah.
the story. Jungle Book, when people
yeah.
go to me, you're taking one Disney film to your grave.
Yeah,
yeah, it's probably Jungle Book.
Yeah.
So he did that version of it, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And I saw bits of it, and I'm like, yeah. I sit there and I go, this is technically brilliant. Fair or not fair, I never evaluated it for what it was because I'm put off by the fact that it exists after something else that is definitive for me.
Mm-hmm.
Are you concerned with Lion King? You've just said Lion King, the cartoon, that's my one that
yeah.
you take one to your grave. It's
yeah,
that one.
Definitely.
Are you concerned by the existence of this movie?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Because when you have so much of your childhood tied up into the stories. Because
that's what Disney does.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, like all
that's
in.
How it is.
And when.
And people can sit here and they're going to name, well,
yeah.
Zeph, I'm going to argue with you, it's Dalmatians. Oh, no, Zeph, Robin Hood. No, it's a Beauty
but
and the Beast, man.
That's what they create.
That's
what they
create.
And those are actually serious convos that people have, like Dalmatians or Jumanji.
We're having one now.
Yeah.
We're both debating the merits of which one defines
strange.
Us.
It's strange. It would be very similar for me. This isn't as big of a film. Like, whenever they talk about doing another Mighty Ducks. I'm like, I love Mighty Ducks, man. Like, if let it be. So with Lion King, there's this part of me, it's like, there's one side, it's like, well, you have to see it. It has everyone in the world in it. The CGI looks like the first time I saw
Avatar. It does look amazing. Some of them look real.
And then what I'm trying to tell myself is just go see it, enjoy it for what it is, a new version of what you've already appreciated, and move on. But I'm
so you said you've heard the inklings that it's more spiritual than the original.
Yeah,
like it's just, aiming. It's very conscious now. The fact that it's aiming at a double audience.
Yeah,
because I think one of Disney's successes.
Yeah,
and I'm not Pixar.
Yeah,
because Pixar as a brand, they've very intelligently known what they.
Yeah,
when Disney bring out a cartoon, you can always feel like we're aiming it.
Yeah.
At the kids. And if the adults like it, great. And we kind of planned it, but we're aiming at the kids.
Yeah.
Whereas Pixar have gone, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
We start off trying to hit double barrel.
Yeah. Love Pixar, by the way.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not criticizing either one of them. I'm just saying that, you know, Pixar in a weird way is more of a, like, Pixar know when it leaves the factory, it needs to appeal to the adults.
Yeah.
Whereas I think at Disney, they don't care so much because if it becomes defining for that kid, then that kid will feel the same way about it when you're on my age now talking about it. Do you feel that that's it? That maybe Lion King is trying to cover its bases? Because Jungle Book just existed for what it was. And I'm like, well, why is it here then?
Yeah, and speaking of Jungle Book,
it didn't have the charm.
Yeah, I think they're making another one anyway. From a new company. Right. But yeah, I mean, when you're dealing with, I think there's certain films that come out of a studio, kid movie, whatever, James Bond, Star Wars, The Lion King. For my generation, I think Pokemon, actually. I think there are some other ones. Creed is now becoming a Rocky of my generation. Even though what would really bring everyone to the seats? A redone Rocky film with everything spruced up.
Right.
I think when you're handling those, Terminator could have had it, but they kind of went
way
off.
They keep swinging, don't they? Swing and miss,
whatever.
Don't they?
Like WWE,
they're trying one more time.
Too much. But yeah, I think when you're dealing with those type of like pantheon iconic films, yeah, I think you have to handle it in a way where you go, well, we're going to get every dollar. We're going to reach every single person we can. I think that also, and this is a weird parallel, but a friend of mine brought this up as well, having the Lion King in that environment after the success of Black Panther in that environment, I think they're using a lot of the same ideas with reaching out marketing-wise through kind of like what's going on at Africa. And
let's be fair. Second time around.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember looking, you know, and we approach cultural issues straight up here.
Yeah.
You know, first time around, it was white people.
Yeah.
And now second time around, it's very much African American.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing else to it.
Because
if you then sit back and look at it and you go, no, these are, you know, okay, Matthew Broderick, A game. But Glover, A game.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's not some sort of like, hey, we're doing this to do this.
Yeah.
No, we're replacing A game
with A game.
A game.
They're not playing around.
Scar, A game back then,
A
top guy now. Yeah. You know, so they've given it his due diligence. Do you think.
And they got Beyonce.
Holy
crap. Yeah.
Are you concerned, though? When you leave it, and again, much of the talk has been how great it looks, but much of the criticism, and I think the criticism is accurate, is that he's just basically recreated the original cartoon cells. He's just done it with a computer. So the shots are the same.
Yeah.
And I understand. Yeah. There are certain movements in any movie franchise where certain things have to occur for you to go, that's my franchise.
Yeah.
You know, James Bond has to do a certain thing where you go, I'm watching
Bond.
Yeah. There has to be Jason Bourne killing someone with a post-it note because that's Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
So I get it. Yeah. There are certain iconic shots that he should recreate because you know something? Yeah, that's Disney.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, if it's when they're holding the cub up, it better look the same as the first one.
But
a lot of it does seem to be just the copy. Are you concerned? Are you worried in any which way that if this movie doesn't hit it out of the park for you, and maybe we can only answer this at the time, are you concerned? Ooh, you know, don't piss on my memories, man.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if it is what you just said, they literally just took high-level CGI and redid the first film, I'd be fine with that. if it is like we're trying to reinvent the wheel with something
and
that
failing.
Is, and failing. Or it's just like average. Or it's like okay.
Because right. the bar, because like, again.
The, if, yeah, we're way up
the bar,
here.
The
yeah,
bar
we're
is
way
high.
Up here. I'm expecting like Avengers good, better than Black Panther, better than Toy Story 4. 30 times better than Aladdin, which was a great try.
So if the talk is, it is, yeah, there's going to be more of a spiritual angle. If that talk is true, then they need to deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if
my
you
thing.
Just saw
yeah.
paying lip service to yeah. it, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Then don't do it. Let's just leave it as it was.
And I just would hope that with a film this big, that they just, that all of the stars are all in. And when I hear what you're saying about Seth Rogen talking about, this may be
he was
one
very
of my best
upfront. He says this is some of the best work I've ever
That's
done.
That's what I want to hear. I don't want it to be like, okay, big budget film, big
no,
name
he was,
actors.
He was yeah. apparently now, to be fair,
yeah.
you know, he's one of the characters. We've all seen enough Disney yeah. where you go, yeah, they're. If you're a voice actor, you want to be that dude
yeah.
and not that dude,
yeah.
and that's the nature of it.
Yeah.
You know, he does have one of the characters you can really go to town with.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, he said that.
Yeah.
People and they've all said, and obviously there's a publicist telling him to say it.
Yeah.
They've said, oh yeah, it's amazing because I think what they did was they all went in and recorded it.
Yeah.
And then they created. They always record and then they create after.
Yeah.
To catch the mannerisms, that kind of stuff. But then when they were being brought back in,
yeah.
and some of them claimed that I never even saw some of these other dudes. I just came in and did my lines.
Yeah.
Some of them have said, I think Glover said, when I came back in to do some re-recordings and they had stuff up on the screen, he's like, it took me a while to get into it because my jaw was dropped.
Yeah.
So I
That's
don't know. People are saying that it's all the way
yeah.
out there.
I'm hoping so because I intentionally didn't rip Aladdin because it has Will Smith in it. And I'm just hoping it's better than that. Which
How
is
bad
fun.
Was that?
Everyone loved it but me. Everyone
well,
loved
the reviews
it but me.
Didn't know.
Yeah. Oh,
the
yeah.
Reviews
the reviews
were very
Well, the people
cool.
that I
so
went
you're
with.
So you're not on your own.
Yeah. The people that I went with who were like Die Hard, Aladdin, they loved it. I was like, this is stupid. So as long as I can stay away from that, as long as it's, hey, we're just redoing it, high-level CGI, cool, or we have reinvented it and we are delivering whatever our approach is, spirituality, song, whatever it is we're delivering, I can deal with that. What I don't want is the opposite. We're reinventing it. Doesn't work.
A movie
we're
that doesn't need to be
done.
Reinvented, more at a point.
I don't think so.
It doesn't need to be
I don't
be
think
reinvented.
So, yeah.
There are certain franchises
yeah,
that
just
don't
let it go.
Need to be reinvented.
Yeah, you know, it's... But there are people, like a close friend of mine, who is a diehard Lion King
You
person.
Couldn't reboot a little bit.
Yeah.
It don't need to be reinvented.
She wants it. She's expecting, like, them to reinvent the story. Even though the story will ultimately be the same, it's going to be through a different lens. I'm like, I hope they don't do that.
No, because it's not a Lion King anymore.
Yeah, just like with, if you tell me, hey, we're going to go see a new Star Wars 10 years from now. If there's not a lightsaber, I don't want to see it. It's not Star Wars.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying.
So yeah, I've saw what they did with Toy Story. I saw what they did with Aladdin. I believe Incredibles. They've all been solid, excluding that Aladdin. So I'm just hoping, hey, give me my 2 hours, however long it is. I know the soundtrack's going to be crazy, and let's get out of here.
Added a couple of new songs, too, apparently, as well, and re-recorded some old ones.
Who did the line that was so popular with the theme song from the first one? We were trying to describe – we were trying to think of who did the
– Tim Rice.
That's who, oh, that's what I thought you were saying when you said Tim Rice.
Tim Rice is,
yeah.
as, I understand, as I understand it, he now, there are other people working with
yeah.
him. He is still on, he has some sort of, almost like a lawyer that has a retainer
yeah.
With Disney.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff in the way that Elton John has a retainer with Disney,
yeah, yeah.
that when they're like, you know, they may have something
yeah.
and then it goes out to those guys to give it a once over type
yeah.
thing. Oh, yeah. All the great lines
yeah, they're still
going back
I wonder
for
who was,
50 years
is
to Tim
singing
Rice.
That part, because I think it was...
Tim Rice, yeah.
Yeah, because someone was saying it was like...
He did Beauty and the Beast, he done the song, I mean,
But I like the original theme song, so like that's weird for me, because I think it's my dad said Phil Collins or somebody sang.
I think he sung the big. Yeah, I'm talking about who wrote it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah Phil
there.
Collins was involved and loads of people.
I don't need that song redone. And I love Beyonce. But that song, like, if they were to start this Lion King with that Phil Collins screaming, like, it's also it's so funny. That is one of the biggest cross cultural entrances to a song or introductions to a soundtrack ever. And what, yeah. I mean when I say that is back home with some really gnarly guys. I'll just say it like that. Some really gnarly guys. When you discuss Disney films and you're in these environments where everyone's like, let's say not a Disney guy, the one thing that will always come up, and that's, I didn't know who Phil Collins was. There's someone will say, man, but when you hear that Lion King theme song, that Phil Collins, I'm gonna he didn't have to do for that free. For us.
Yeah. There are loads of dudes who claim that they're not a Disney film.
Yeah.
But you put them up against the wall, they're going to give you a favorite.
Yeah.
There are a lot of dudes who claim, I don't like musicals.
Yeah.
You put them up against the wall, they can sing a song for something.
I know one of those.
Yeah. So when you're sitting around with gnarly dudes claiming that they're not, believe you me,
they've got
something they want to share.
But they love that Phil Collins, though. Yeah. And then someone will always say, man, play it. I just want to hear that first part. So like,
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Because if you do get in certain people, then you kind of, I suspect they may be, some of the big hits will appear twice.
Yeah.
You'll get your classic.
Yeah.
And then you'll get someone else giving it a go.
That's smart.
I suspect that's what, because again, be fair, if I'm Beyonce's agent and you call me up to be in the Lion King,
my
first question is going to be, well, what am I doing in this? Because I ain't coming along just to come along.
Yeah.
I want to bring my thing. So I do get that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, man. I'm excited for it all. It was tough. I've been back and forth on it. You know, me and my friends at Oakton, we've been going back and forth about it for, do you want to see it? Do I not want to see it? Do I want to wait? I'm going to go see it.
You can't not now, though.
Yeah. You got to go see
it. And in a strange way, and maybe that's as we exit, because I don't want to talk about anything else now other than Lion King. As we get towards the end of the show, the one manipulative thing about choosing Lion King is you make it very difficult for people to turn their back on it. If you picked a lesser known Disney product, one of the second level ones, which is still excellent, people go, oh yeah, that's not one of mine. And then they just turn away from it.
Yeah.
But when you pick Lion King, you're manipulating the audience a little bit. You're almost saying, ignore it if you're there.
Yeah.
And knowing, it's like one of those things. It's like, the greatest apple pie ever is my grandma's.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to try yours.
Yeah.
But I like apple pie.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is with Lion King. There's something kind of sneaky about the Disney being sneaky.
Really funny. I'll tell you what could not be a better end, and speaks to your point 100%. I was hesitant about seeing it, saw the release, and then I get the notification because I'm a Plus Rewards member.
Of course,
That
this show is not sponsored by AMC.
Yeah.
I feel like we're sponsoring now. So AMC, I know, man, it's time to front
you guys
got to
give me, I just need like,
me, but.
Yeah, I need 2%. But I told my friend, and we're doing the dating thing, and I was like, hey, we're going to go to the movies this weekend. And I listed another film. I didn't name Lion King. I said, hey, we're going to go see, let's say, Midsommar. And she says, we're going to go see Lion King. And at that moment, I was like, dude, Lion King is huge, because she's not even that.
They're going to be printing money. This is the biggest. I said alone, this is the biggest film of the summer.
Yeah.
Biggest film of the summer. Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
Fun. We'll see.
We will find out on the other side.
Yeah.
This has been Richard's Movie Month.
Yeah, Richard. We're back.
This has been Richard's Movie Month, a production of the Atlantic Voice Network. Follow us on Twitter at Atlantic_voice, via email at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And on the blog at AtlanticVoice.net. Movie Richards, Movie Month.